Welcome to the Situation Update for Friday, April 29th, 2022. Mike Adams here, and we're going to start out with a little view of what eco-terrorist libtards look like. Let's watch them for about 30 seconds. Take a look and be amazed.
Hi, I'm Louise. I'm 23, and I'm doing this because currently the government doesn't care about our lack of futures, that inaction on the emergency, which is the climate crisis, is literally going to destroy lives in the next 10 to 20 years. It's going to be mass crop failure, mass drought, mass starvation. And because they're doing nothing, we are forced to cause disruption to make them listen.
Okay, so isn't this just genius? I mean, they're smashing gas pumps. Gas pump screens with little... What are those little glass break hammers that you escape your vehicle with, basically? And did you see the explanation of Louise here, the eco-terrorist, 23 years old?
Hi, I'm Louise, and we've only got 10 to 20 years left. It's going to be mass crop failures and starvation. We are all going to die if we don't smash the gas pumps.
Does she have no idea that diesel, fossil fuels is what brings the food to her local store, or that fossil fuels are what create the fertilizer that feeds half the world? Literally 4 billion people are alive because of natural gas. Or what about the diesel fuel that goes into the tractors? Does little Louise here, or any of these other eco-terrorists, do they have any clue that they would not be alive without fossil fuels? And that if you take away fossil fuels, then you cause mass starvation. And that's exactly what's happening around the world, is the taking away of the energy infrastructure in order to cause starvation. She should be actually cheering what's happening. She should be cheering the halting of fertilizer, the halting of natural gas, the diesel shortages, and so on. She should be cheering all that, because because she's part of a death cult. That's all these people are, is death cultists. But it is entertaining to watch them try to explain to themselves why they think they have to smash things in society, the very things that are keeping them alive. And that's why, as I've said before, we should just have a rocket ship, a very large one, just called maybe Second Chance. And it's a climate change rescue mission where everybody who thinks that fossil fuels are bad, they can hop onto the rocket ship and we launch them into outer space. And that's it. And just, come on, join the rocket ship. We're all going to launch into outer space. Maybe we'll find another planet. Who knows? Just jump on board. Everyone get on board now. And then, the first moment something goes wrong on the rocket ship, these lunatics just start smashing all the electronics and the control panels and everything in the rocket ship. We don't like this rocket ship no more. We're just going to smash it, even though it's the only thing keeping us alive. We're just going to smash it. these people. But then again, hey, when I was 23, I didn't know what was going on either. So to some extent, you can't blame these people. But today's youth, they are convinced that they know everything. Well, maybe that's been a universal truth about youth for a long time. The young people always think they know everything, totally convinced that they know everything. And that they're all gonna die if they don't stop all fossil fuels. It's the Greta Thunberg approach to cause and effect. And then by smashing the fossil fuel infrastructure, they will, of course, kill themselves off. Darwin Award time, right? But let's move into some good news. In Tennessee, ivermectin is now available over the counter. This is so cool. So Governor Bill Lee has signed SB 2188. That allows ivermectin to be sold over the counter without a prescription. The Senate voted for it. The House voted for it overwhelmingly. And the bill states that a pharmacist can provide ivermectin to a patient 18 years of age or older. And the patient merely needs to explain their symptoms to the pharmacist, and then the pharmacist can provide the medication. So, what's cool about this is there's going to be a whole lot of people. We're going to have like ivermectin tourism to Tennessee, I would imagine. So people who are close to Tennessee, or especially who have family members in Tennessee, they're all going to be coming into Tennessee and finding the pharmacies that will sell ivermectin. Now, ivermectin sold as a pharmaceutical is crazy expensive. It's insane. It's like, what are the pills? 3 milligrams each, I think. And each one of those pills, if I'm recalling correctly, each one of those pills is a few dollars. What is it, like $2, $6, something like that? It's crazy. So if you take a 15 milligram dose, I mean, it could cost you a lot of money. It is a fraction of the price to do what I do. Not that I'm recommending that you do this, but I do this. I just buy 1% sterile solution injectable ivermectin for veterinary use over the counter at agricultural supply stores. And then I just drop it into my smoothie. And it's because it's just ivermectin in basically distilled water is what that is. And with maybe a little bit of a pH control in there. I drop it into my smoothie and I just chug it. That's what I do. Can't recommend you do it because I'm not your doctor, but that's what I do. And I'm doing that once a week now, by the way. I'm literally taking ivermectin to prevent problems, to prevent, you know, exposure issues. Because I'm still around people, you know, doing interviews, meeting people, training. You know, I do, do martial arts training, things like that. And that's actually my biggest exposure, is being around sick people, rolling on the floor with them, like trading sweat sometimes, because we're trading like, arm bars, knee bars, headlocks, all kinds of weird things, you know, arm bars. Someone's doing an arm bar on you, you know, you can end up with a butt right in your face. It turns out, you know, like squatted over your face and breaking your arm. And that's just part of the training. But because of these kinds of exposures, I know that's not what you wanted to hear today. Like preparedness advice, like have a person squat with their butt in your face, pretending to break your arm. This is called knowledge, but this is how training happens. Right. And then you get to do it to them, which is even more fun, but you got to protect yourself from the exposures. And ivermectin is one of the ways to do that. So it's available now in Tennessee, if you want to pay the crazy high price of prescription ivermectin. Well, I guess non-prescription now, but pharmaceutical ivermectin. All right, now moving on to freightwaves.com. Diesel prices are soaring beyond crude and gasoline, and likely to stay that way. Diesel market impacted by several factors that are driving prices higher at a rate exceeding other oil markets. Yeah, so according to the Department of Energy, their Energy Information Administration, retail gasoline is up 26% from the start of this year, but diesel is up 43%. Yeah, diesel's up 43%. And then this story says something rather honest, which is unusual, but check it out. While it's easy to blame the Russia-Ukraine war, given the enormous role of Russia as a supplier of diesel, the reality is that the price of diesel compared to crude and gasoline began to increase well before Russia's invasion. You got that? Before Russia's invasion. But of course, as we know from Jen Psaki at the White House, Putin has a time machine, and he can go back in time and cause inflation before he invades Ukraine. It's kind of like the Terminator series. Instead of the Terminator going back in time to kill Sarah Connor before she can give birth to John Connor, the leader of the human resistance who destroys the machines and sets humanity free, Vladimir Putin can go back in time and cause inflation before the midterm elections to destroy Joe Biden and the Democrats in order to install pro-freedom candidates to lead the human revolution to rise up against inflation or something and to set humanity free. Yes, yes, Vladimir Putin is, in fact, Kyle Reese from the Terminator series going back in time, at least according to the White House. Okay. All right, now, because diesel prices are so high, the U.S. Pentagon is going to start making wind-up tanks. No, I'm kidding. But that would, I wouldn't be surprised. You wind them up with a little propeller in the back, and then they go a little bit, and then you got to wind them up again. No, the truth, though, is that Amazon has lost $3.8 billion in the first quarter. Yeah, mostly because of rising fuel prices. So, you know, all those Amazon delivery vans that are all over the place, and and Amazon doing, you know, a lot of freight delivery, moving pallets around from warehouse to warehouse and so on. So Amazon is getting hit hard, losing $3.8 billion in the first quarter of this year. And actually, I think it's your fault that, yes, you listening to this, I think it's your fault because I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. When you're checking out on Amazon.com, you know how it gives you a choice to say like, oh, collect all my stuff in as few packages as possible, even though it might take a few extra days, and then just deliver one box to my address. But what you are choosing, I know this about you, you are choosing to deliver everything as quickly as possible in as many packages as possible. And by doing that, you are irresponsibly bankrupting Amazon because you're making them ship lots and lots of boxes really, really quickly. And that's causing Amazon to go broke. Shame on you. Shame on you. You should always select as few boxes as possible and take as long as you want. That's the correct procedure to save the climate when you're checking out from Amazon, just for the record. All right, now it's not just Amazon that's losing money. There's a shocking economic report that came out yesterday morning. The Wall Street Journal has covered it, and it's been all over the financial media. The U.S. economy, the GDP, shrank at 1.4%. It didn't grow at all. It shrank. It contracted. And that's even with all the spending on all the pharmaceuticals and vaccines and everything, and all the defense weapons slush money that's being spent. Yeah, the economy contracted, which was a big shocker to all the economists, not a shocker to you and me, because we can see the collapse accelerating. And what's really amazing is it contracted even as most Americans are trying to spend every last dollar in their possession to get rid of the dollars as quickly as possible before the dollars lose even more value. So you actually have a population that is just fleeing the dollars, like trading dollars for anything. Here, I'll take used wheelbarrows. Just take my dollars, please. That's happening all over the country. And normally that kind of behavior, you know, increases the velocity of money, as it's called, and it causes economic statistics to look really good. It's like, look, people are spending, people are buying, there's so much economic activity. But in this case, the economy is collapsing so rapidly that even with that kind of panic spending, we still can't get above zero on the GDP change. So now it's negative 1.4%. Shocker, huh? All right, a couple of housekeeping updates for you here. First of all, my free book, Resilient Prepping, reportedly, according to my staff, will be available sometime this evening if all goes well and we don't hit some other hiccups. I was trying to get it live sometime today for you, but there were issues with the PDF that I spotted. I was like, no, you got to change this and this and this. Basically, some of the graphics in there were too dark and they were going to use too much ink if people printed them out. So I told the team, you got to have graphics that don't blow through people's ink. Okay. I mean, I'm trying to look out for you folks. You know, I don't want you to blow through ink when you're printing this thing. It's 160 pages transcript and I want to save your ink. But anyway, it should be available sometime tonight. And I'll put a big link up on the homepage of naturalnews.com, but you can check at resilientprepping.com. You'll be able to download all the MP3s because I want you to be able to enjoy the weekend listening to an audiobook about the total collapse of human civilization. And it might motivate you to do a little extra prepping this weekend. Who knows? But anyway, it's looking like this evening it's going to go live. I can't 100% promise it, but barring any other emergencies, it should be live this evening. All right. Yesterday I interviewed Stan Johnson from the Prophecy Club. And this man has memorized the Book of Revelation. I think that's pretty cool. I would like to do that, actually. That sounds like a worthwhile endeavor. But he's memorized the Book of Revelation, and he has been teaching Bible prophecy for 30 plus years. And he's got a lot of really popular videos on Brighton, I mean, a great channel. I love to watch his videos. He has guests who are experts in prophecy, and his wife also has received, I think he said, several thousand prophecies over many, many years. And he was giving me the rundown of kind of the big picture of where this is going the collapse of America, that America will fall in 1 hour, he said, because of the prophecies. And he links the book of Revelation to America and Russia. And he says, we're not in World War III yet. I mean, we're not in direct conflict with Russia yet, but we will be. And he said, essentially, World War III started on February 22nd. That's the day that Russia did that vote, which then authorized internally the invasion of Ukraine. But Stan says, we're going to be in conflict with Russia. America falls, that certain states will secede, and there'll be certain milestones in Israel, such as Israel giving up a big part of its territory to Palestine, and that will be a milestone to indicate that we are then, at that point, in the 7 years of tribulation. Because as Stan says, we're not in tribulation yet. And I know opinions vary. And so I'm just saying, hey, listen to this interview with Stan that's coming out probably early next week. It's really fascinating. And you're going to learn a lot, whether you agree or disagree with it. You're going to learn a lot of information. I did just conducting the interview. So I want to thank Stan for that. It's going to come out real soon here. And then I also interviewed Ty and Charlene Bollinger, who are the creators of the new Propaganda Exposed docuseries, which starts May 4th. And I strongly encourage you to register to watch that docuseries. And you can do that at thetruthaboutcancer.us. And remember how this works. You get to watch everything for free. And you can optionally buy DVDs or digital downloads. And if you do that, then normally they would pay us some kind of small affiliate fee. But we have publicly announced we are donating 100% of whatever affiliate revenue we would get from this to Health Freedom Heroes. We're going to be donating money out to people like Sherry Tenpenny, Attorney Thomas Renz and his team, and some of the websites like Daily Exposé. And I was thinking, too, that Strange Sounds is such a great website. I'm sure they could probably use some revenue. So we're going to look around at what publishers we need to help support financially. So if you do choose to buy something from this Propaganda Exposed docuseries, which is entirely optional, but if you choose to buy something, you're going to be helping to support the health freedom movement in a big way. So check out that interview coming up also early next week with Ty and Charlene Bollinger. They dropped some bombshells in there. We talk about 9/11. Yeah, and we even talked about Oklahoma City and how now, looking back at the history of America, the big events, everybody who's informed now realizes they were all engineered. Most of them were run by the FBI, including the 1993 World Trade Center attempted bombing. Remember that one in the underground parking lot that tried to bring the buildings down? It was all FBI. But only now is America waking up to how corrupt the system really is. And with that knowledge, we can take a whole new look at everything that's happening around us or that has happened in our lifetimes with a new understanding, a new perspective that it was all manipulated. It was all allowed to happen. And that the stories we were told by the media were all lies. They've been lies from day one. It lied to us about Oklahoma City, lied to us about Waco, lied to us about 9/11, lied about vaccines, lied about COVID, lied about everything. Literally everything. And the lies have not stopped. They've only doubled or tripled down now. But that docuseries blows the lid on all of it. TheTruthAboutCancer.us. That's where you can register to see all that. All right. And I want to introduce you to Libtard Biology. Yes, there's a story on the postmillennial.com. Biology teacher says it's more inclusive to say that eggs come from ovaries rather than from women. So there's a transgender biology teacher that is saying you shouldn't claim that women produce eggs because that's transphobic somehow. No, you should refer to their body parts of origin, which are ovaries, that ovaries produce eggs, not women. And presumably this biology teacher, which is hilarious, this is a teacher in Colorado, thinks that men might have ovaries too. Oh, so here's an actual quote from this person. Quote, a lot of textbooks, a lot of existing teaching will say, well, women produce eggs. Males are more likely to be colorblind. The mother carries the fetus for this many months and some ways that we can show our support for trans and non-binary students, just to clean up that language to be more precise, we can be more accurate and more inclusive. So I would say, no, it's not women that produce eggs. It's ovaries that produce eggs. We're acknowledging that not all women produce eggs, and also not all egg producers are women. Now, okay. Well, this person earns an F in, let's see, science, biology, logic, and philosophy probably as well. So he says, we're acknowledging that not all women produce eggs, and also that not all egg producers are women. So for the first half of that, he is correct. Not all women produce eggs, right? Because there are some women that have an infertility issue where they're not producing eggs. Okay, that's understood. But he says, not all egg producers are women. F minus. Nope. All egg producers are, in fact, women, and all sperm producers are, in fact, men, by definition. So think about who's teaching the children in America so-called biology. This is biology. I mean, well, delusional, fake dream world, you know, fantasy biology. It's like, maybe this teacher should come to school dressed as a furry, you know, like a dog snout little costume. You've heard about the furries, right? And I'm pretty sure, at least from what I've heard, some of these furries, these are like perverted adults that get together and act like dogs and creatures and rabbits and so on. And then they do weird, what is it, like S&M, perverted sex domination with animals, as make-believe animals. And they get together and someone will show up dressed like a dog in a leather binding outfit with like padlocks and stuff. It's like, dude, I mean, really? You people are sick. I mean, it's weird and twisted enough to show up just dressed like animals and start having sex with each other as you're pretending to be animals. But then add bondage to it. Like, your fantasy is to have sex with a bound up canine or something. Like, that's your weird twisted fantasy? Sickos. And then, oh, and you're a biology teacher, I see. Oh, okay. Yeah. Great. How did you pass biology when you were in your own training? I mean, how did you qualify to be a teacher? Oh, yeah. You just checked off all the right boxes of being transgender, even though you have no knowledge about biology. You don't understand cause and effect. You don't understand anything about the world, or you choose to reject it because probably you're a grooming pervert, is probably the case. You're a grooming pervert who wants to ensnare children. And I'm talking about just in general, a lot of these transgenders that target children are grooming perverts and pedophiles, you know, LGBTP. That's what they want. Maybe they should add, you know, like A on the end of it for animals too. LGBTPA, pedophiles and animal groomers. No, you think that's like a business where you're cutting the hair of dogs, you're an animal groomer? No, not anymore. An animal groomer is like a weird twisted human adult who wants to rape canines, like young canine rapists, animal groomers. Crazy. I know. Nothing makes sense anymore, does it? Now, I'm not accusing that specific high school biology teacher of being an animal groomer or even a pedophile, but just being twisted and brainwashing and indoctrinating children, yes. But across the movement, the spectrum of all the perverts and weirdos and freaks who are preying on children and I guess preying on animals or pretending to be animals and preying on each other, it's pretty sick, twisted stuff. And this is all end time stuff. I was asking Stan about this at the Prophecy Club. I said, yeah, are these signs of the end times? And part of his answer was that, yes, God will judge America. God sees all of this, of course, and sees that this is complete perversion. This is a complete rejection of natural law. It's a rejection of human DNA, of chromosomes, of the man and the woman, right? So it's a rejection of families, rejection of human rights, and so on. And there will be the wrath of God judging America for all of this, and America will be destroyed because America has not rejected child murder of abortion either. So yes, America will be destroyed. And now, speaking of libtards, now here's one that I will name because he's a public figure. Mark Ruffalo, the actor. There's a story about him in the Postmillennial. He says that the Ukrainian war is a gift for Biden to take bold climate action. That's right. That's right. So, I mean, this is all these left-wing lunatics can think of is, oh, you know, this could escalate to a global nuclear war. They don't care about that. Or that innocent people are dying. They don't care about that. Or there's all this corruption, cover-ups of the Biden crime family and the bioweapons factories that NATO and the USA ran in eastern Ukraine. No, he doesn't care about that. All he cares about is that higher gas prices might now convince people to go for the Green New Deal. So from the story, he was in an interview with Katie Turr at MSNBC. He said the Biden administration needs to take advantage of the Ukrainian war to push for the transition to green energy, using people's disgust with current energy prices as leverage. Well, and of course, this is the actor that stars in The Avengers. He plays, I think, Bruce Banner, doesn't he? Who turns into the Hulk, turns into the Green New Deal monster because of radiation or something, gamma rays. So obviously what he doesn't realize is the only reason energy prices are too high is because there's not enough energy flowing. So what he's saying, which is just classic libtard, I mean, he's actually speaking the libtard language. What he's saying is that since gas prices are so high, let's shut down oil and fossil fuels even more to drive up gas prices even more to convince people to what? Drive electric vehicles? Well, what's going to happen to the price of electricity when the coal is more expensive because of all these restrictions on fossil fuels? And it's the coal that powers the power plants that charge the electric vehicles, Mr. Bruce Banner. He's supposed to be a scientist, but he doesn't understand where electricity comes from. Isn't that the amazing thing about libtards? They don't know where money comes from. We just print it everywhere. It comes out of the sky, falls from helicopters. And they don't know where energy comes from. They probably think they can print energy. We just print energy with solar panels. They don't even know where solar panels come from. They don't know what rare earth minerals go into the making of solar panels. They don't realize that wind turbines only produce electricity when they are turning. Like there actually has to be wind and the turbines have to not be frozen up, and that solar panels only produce energy when the sun is shining on them, which doesn't happen when it's raining or when it's cloudy days or when it's nighttime. So you can't actually run your society on solar and wind unless you just want to have rolling blackouts every time there's night or calm, non-windy days. So how do you think you're going to transition into a green energy world when there's night? Frankly, I think Mark Ruffalo should now teach high school biology as well. He should be the biology teacher. Eggs don't come from women. They come from ovaries. You know, that's like saying pizza doesn't come from a chef. Pizza comes from pizza ovens. Right? It's breaking it down into the mechanics of it. It's like saying that, you know, crops don't come from farmers. Crops come from combines. You know, it's like saying that music on a grand piano doesn't come from the person playing the music, that music comes from piano wires that are vibrating. I mean, this is a pointless reductionism to say that eggs come from ovaries, but not from women. You know, but it's so true. It's so true about modern science. They think everything can be broken down into all the parts and then smaller and smaller parts and subatomic particles and everything else. You know, if you had a composer play an amazing piano concerto piece, just mind-blowing music on a piano, and then you turn over the piano to the scientists and you say, where did the music come from? You know what they would do? They would dissect the piano. They would take it apart piece by piece. They would examine the wires and the keys, and they would notice there are black keys and there are white keys. There's probably an element of racism in this piano. Music probably is based on white privilege. Look at the history of the composers. And then they would They would run atomic analysis of the wood that goes into the frame of the piano. And they would pluck the strings with their fingers, and they would have oscilloscopes, and they would measure the vibrations of the piano strings. And they would say, aha, we think the music comes from here, these strings. Mm-hmm. And we think the music is initiated by these keys. And we believe that because most of the elements that are in this piano are carbon, we believe that music comes from carbon. That's what they would conclude. Carbon-based music. And therefore, since carbon is bad, music is bad. They would say there's too much music in the world adding to carbon, spreading too much carbon vibration in the world, and we have to get rid of music in order to wage the war on carbon. This is the way modern science approaches everything. Just like with cancer, it's the same thing. They don't think about the patient and the patient's lifestyles. Like, what did you eat? You know, what are you not eating? What are you lacking? What are your habits like? No, it's the mechanics of it. Let's rip apart your cells. Let's take a biopsy. Ouch. Let's look at the tissues. Let's look at different kind of MRIs and CAT scans, and let's look at everything under microscopes. And then we'll say, well, we think the cancer comes from there. And they'll point at something. It's right there. Just like the music comes from right there. The music comes from those strings. No, the music comes from the composer. And cancer comes from the lifestyle of the person, by the way. You know, unless you've had exposures that you can't control, you know, exposures to chemicals, exposures to radiation and things like that. I mean, there are outside causes, but usually it comes down to the lifestyle or the behaviors of the person, just like the composer of the music. In fact, literally every day you are composing the music of your life. Each of us is doing that. We are composing the masterpiece music of our lives, and the music continues each and every day that we make decisions. Now, most people aren't really making their own music. They're just following the music that's been handed to them. It's kind of a droning music, kind of an obedience march. Dun, 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 da-da-da-dun, dun, dun, da-da-da-dun. Vaccines are good, da-da-da-dun. Vaccines are good. You know, like that's what most people are doing. But then there are creative types, intelligent people, people who have the courage and the heart to be their own person, who can do their own glorious music, and they write their own songs. And their songs can be truly amazing, truly inspiring. You know, the song today can be the song of love or creativity, the song of invention, the song of discovery, the song of empowering others, the song of connection with God. These are the kinds of songs that vibrate through the hearts and souls of people who are the real human beings here, not the droning zombie march. Dun, dun, vaccines are good, dun, 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 and knowledge is bad, dun, 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 and censorship is good, dun, 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 and Biden is popular, dun, 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 dun. Which is really close to the, you know, the Star Wars march. Dun, 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 right? I forgot the exact name of that song. Well, John Williams masterpiece right there. Dun, 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 dun. You know how it goes. There was a piece of news from LifeSite News that I found very interesting. The headline, Russian court fines TikTok and Facebook for not deleting posts containing LGBT ideology. That's right. So the parent company of Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp have been fined 4 million rubles by a Moscow court. That's $53,000. Can we have this here? I mean, this is great. This is great. It should be disallowed to push transgenderism propaganda on children through social media. You know, Russia's got this right. And notice, by the way, that Facebook has to pay the fine in rubles, right? We don't accept euros and dollars here. You got to pay your fine in rubles if you want to keep operating in Russia. TikTok was fined 2 million rubles, which is $27,000, for promoting LGBT propaganda. So I'm hoping that one day in whatever new society rises up out of the ashes of the fallen empire of America, which fell under the weight of the libtards and the corruption and the deep state and the money printing and the total insanity and psychopathy of the people on the left, but also the so-called leaders. I'm hoping that what rises out of the ashes is something that where we need a system of morality in what is broadcast to children. We need a morality standard for movies, for television, for children's literature, and also for social media that children have access to. Now, being that I am a libertarian-minded kind of person on most of these issues, when it's adults talking to adults, I'm pretty much a pro-freedom guy. And if you want to do your weird furry fantasies as an adult, that's your own private business. I'm talking about children here, especially, you know, Netflix and things like that. Anything that children could watch, anything under the age of 18, we've got to have morality standards. And that means you have to start fining companies who are pushing out filth and transgenderism and Satanism and all this horrible stuff onto children. And, you know, the transgenderism, genitalia, mutilations, and all this stuff. And that includes Disney, right? The grooming corporate capital of America, Disney. The magical kingdom of pedophiles. Just a bunch of sickos there. And look up the history of Walt Disney, by the way, if you really want to go down a rabbit hole in that area. Yeah, you may never return from that rabbit hole. Be careful. All right, let's shift gears here and move into vaccines for a minute. We got actually quite a bit of news to cover in this, and also an update on Russia. This is from dailyexpose.uk. This is one of the websites we're going to be supporting with a donation coming up pretty soon. New study confirming COVID vaccine causes severe autoimmune hepatitis is published days after the WHO issued, quote, global alert about new severe hepatitis among children. So you see, while the left-wing culture war is targeting children for grooming and pedophilia and trafficking and genital mutilations and whatever else the left is up to, the, quote, science establishment, or at least conventional medicine, is murdering children with, of course, biological weapons. And the so-called COVID-19 vaccine is one of those biological weapons. And of course, it causes liver damage. So all of a sudden, we're seeing, you know, hepatitis problems in children, this sudden spike of hepatitis problems, liver inflammation, right? And of course, it's caused by vaccines. So, you know, they're issuing a global alert, you know, oh my gosh, there's a sudden problem with hepatitis in children, but they won't even tie it to the vaccines. So what this shows is that the vaccines are starting to really kick in with the damage that they are achieving in the bodies of children. Now, yesterday I talked about the sudden increase in adults who are suffering symptoms, you know, like chest pain or strokes or mini strokes or shortness of breath or whatever the case may be. And a lot of adults are dying now who have been vaccinated, or they're in the hospitals with, you know, severe problems near death. What we're learning from this is that it did take time for a lot of the vaccine injections to take their toll on the body. And this is understandable because if you think about the mRNA technology, it's going in and it's taking over your body's cells, and it's forcing your body's cells through the ribosomes to churn out alien protein, nanoparticles, you could say, or protein fragments, sequences, whatever you want to call it, that are then distributed around the body. And some of those are highly toxic to the body, toxic to the heart, toxic to the nervous system, toxic to the autoimmune system, and so on, and toxic to fertility. Yes, they attack the ovaries, you know, which the libtard biology teachers would say, that's not women, but whatever. They attack the ovaries, they attack the testes, they attack the lungs and the spleen and so on. But the destruction of the tissue of these organs takes time. So although there are a lot of people who die in the first 48 hours because their blood turns to gel, you have the blood platelet aggregation, the clotting, the congealing. I mean, it turns your blood into like gelatin, within seconds, starting in some people. And that's why we are asking, you know, where is Tiffany Dover? Where are these people who got injected with the actual virus and then they passed out on live TV? Or some of the celebrities that were paid big money to promote the vaccine and then they disappeared. Some of them are dead because it causes your blood to turn to gel. But that's only in some people, not in every people, and it depends on the lot of the vaccine that you received. Some vaccines are far more dangerous than others, depending on the production lot. So then there are the short-term deaths, there are the medium-term deaths, like in the first 30 days, and then there are the longer-term deaths, which is what we're seeing now, and we're seeing extreme liver problems in children, as well as infertility problems, and of course, neurological problems in adults, and one cardiovascular as well. So imagine how many of these children are going to need a liver transplant or maybe just won't survive the next decade. I mean, we're only a year into the vaccine here. This is year one. And for a lot of people, they didn't even get, you know, the boosters until later in the year. So they may have only had a few months of time living with multiple jabs, but they're going to have to live with this for the rest of their lives. And they're starting to show symptoms right now. Where do you think this is going? It's going to global depopulation, of course. But anyway, the hepatitis problem in children is based on a published scientific study. And then we've got another story that the UK Daily Mail has covered and some other publications as well. The CDC and the FDA, this is a bombshell, CDC and FDA altered COVID guidance and suppressed findings while under political pressure, a bombshell report suggests. Whistleblower employees say that they feared retaliation if they spoke up. So federal investigators, this is what's interesting. There's kind of a white hat contingent in the federal government at the GAO, the Government Accountability Office. They launched this investigation and they launched a whistleblower reporting line where employees of the CDC or vaccine-related companies could report problems that they saw. You know, they could blow the whistle. So from those phone calls and tips, federal investigators at the GAO, they interviewed directors and managers at various agencies such as the CDC and the FDA. And they uncovered, according to the UK Daily Mail, quote, widespread allegations of political interference with decisions about the vaccines. They raised fears that COVID guidance may have been, quote, altered or suppressed, and that the CDC and the FDA did not have systems in place for reporting allegations. And so there's no mechanism for anybody to blow the whistle. And that they'd failed to train staff in how to report or spot political interference. And there are allegations that the White House waged a war on science early in the pandemic. And that was under Trump, by the way. And that war on science has continued, of course, under Biden. So this is from the GAO. This has been widely reported in major media outlets. And, you know, it's another confirmation that there are criminals that ran this thing. It's a giant criminal cartel running the FDA and the CDC. And in my opinion, the vaccine companies as well. Giant cartel. And they rigged everything. They approved vaccines that they knew were dangerous and deadly. And as a result, now millions of people are already dead around the world, and millions more will die in the coming years. In fact, I believe tens of millions will die in the coming years. All right, now I want to move over to Russia. There have been some truly bombshell revelations in the last day coming out of Russia. And from what I can piece together, they are, number one, that Russia appears to be moving to take the small country of Moldova. So Russia is moving westward across the southern border of Ukraine, moving toward Odessa, of course, expanding the land bridge. And it looks like Russia is going to want to take Moldova as well. The situation surrounding the Azovstal steel factory is going to come to a close very, very soon, in the next few days. Probably in the next 5 days, you're going to see that close down where there will be no more remaining survivors. They will have either surrendered or they will be dead. And in that, this is where you're going to see literally hundreds of soldiers who are working for or former military people from France, the UK, and the United States, among other Western NATO nations. Now, these people may end up just getting killed by their own troops or committing suicide to avoid being captured and used by Russia and forced to make, let's say, on-camera confessions or things like that. So these people may kill themselves first, but the situation in Azovstal is going to be over very, very soon. Now, here's the other big story. Poland, I know this sounds incredible. It looks like Poland is getting ready to, shall we say, to take some of Ukraine's territory. So Poland and Ukraine have announced military exercises that it's going to move a lot of troops and equipment to the east of Poland. And then it looks like Poland is pushing towards a reunification of Ukraine, as if Poland is wanting to occupy and then eventually to kind of seize Western sections of Ukraine. So Poland, if you go back in the history of Poland, in just the early 20th century, Poland actually had the territory of what is now considered Western Ukraine. That was Poland. Okay. So there are some towns there, Galicia, Volhynia, Polesia, which sounds a lot like Poland. So a lot of modern day Ukraine was actually previously part of what was known as the Polish-Lithuanian Commonwealth. That's the western part of Ukraine. And then, of course, a lot of eastern Ukraine has strong ties to not only modern-day Russia, but also the former Soviet Union, which had all of Ukraine. But it looks like Poland, and this is my analysis, it looks like Poland is realizing that Ukraine is going to lose this war with Russia, that Russia is going to get everything that it wants, which is not Kiev, by the way. Russia doesn't want northern Ukraine. Russia doesn't want Kiev. Russia wants eastern Ukraine, the Donbass region, and southern Ukraine, all the way to Odessa for military strategic reasons. You know, that's the big ship port right there at Odessa. So Russia is now almost certain to achieve those goals. But Russia has no interest in taking Kiev, at least not that we know of right now. But Russia does have an interest in continuing its westward expansion into Moldova. And of course, Russia will seize Crimea as well, you know, for the energy and other reasons there. But I was really shocked to learn that Poland appears to want to reclaim some of the old Polish territory, which is currently Western Ukraine. So it's as if Ukraine is being ripped apart by both its enemies and its friends. And frankly, Ukraine is being ripped apart by NATO, quote, friends, for reasons we talked about yesterday, the shipping of all this old military equipment, outdated tanks, and not even really tanks, anti-aircraft tracked vehicles and so on, which will only result in more deaths of young Ukrainian men who die fighting in this outdated equipment that can't compare at all to modern Russian military hardware. So sadly, Ukraine is going to lose a lot of men. Ukraine is going to lose, it looks like, a lot of its southern territory and eastern territory, probably Kharkov or Kharkiv. I've seen it spelled both ways, is going to become Russian territory. Luhansk and Donetsk, the Donbass region, is all going to be Russian. On the southern coast areas, Kherson and also Odessa. And then Russia is now moving all the way to the west. Looks like they have a lot of interest in Moldova. But what's going to be left of Ukraine may be considerably smaller than what it is now. Ukraine may lose literally half or more of its current territory by the time all of this is over. So the nation of Bulgaria is warning its citizens to leave Moldova. And Bulgaria put out an announcement: "We call on our compatriots to refrain from any trips to the country of Moldova. We invite Bulgarian citizens who are on the territory to take measures to leave the country on currently available vehicles." And then the ex-prime minister, of Moldova issued a statement quote, if the Russians manage to get to Tiraspol, and that is a city that is just on the eastern edge of Moldova, it's on the western edge of South Ukraine. But if the Russians manage to get to Tiraspol, it will be the end of Moldova. And that's a quote from Luri Lyanka, former prime minister. And then we have another quote, a tweet. A senior Ukrainian official announced yesterday that Russian troops had taken part of the Kharkiv region. Yesterday, Russia announced that it had captured the entire Kherson region. And another tweet, Russia is increasing the pace of offensive in Ukraine in all directions. This is from the speaker of the Ukrainian Defense Ministry. His name is Oleksandr Matuzianik. And from the tweet, it says, apparently even the armed forces of Ukraine are tired of the lies of Aristovich. I'm not sure who that is. MI6 is currently warning that Russia is going to start launching strikes against a military coordination and decision-making centers in Ukraine. So MI6 is telling allied forces there, do not use the command posts of the Ministry of Defense because Russia knows where that is. All right, now, then I want to read for you this. It's a translation of a tweet thread from a Ukrainian military fighter who was in, Azov Kalina, the 36th Brigade commander, has released videos pleading for Western help. And so I want to read for you some of what is in this video. And again, this are Ukrainian military commanders in the Azov region. I'm not sure exactly where they are, but they're pleading for help because they can't get supplies. And so here it is. My name is Sergei. My call sign is Volina, V-O-L-Y-N-A, or Volina. I am temporarily filling duties of a commander of the 36th Marines Brigade. For 62 days, we are fighting completely surrounded. Right now, we are located at the Azov Stahl factory. Oh, okay, that's where he is. Completing objectives together with a detachment of the Azov Regiment and other detachments that ended up in an encirclement as a result of hostilities in Mariupol. In short, our group, there are over 600 wounded guys with various degrees of wounds. They desperately need medical assistance. There are no medicines, no personnel who can help them. We have wounded civilians whom we are helping as much as possible. There are also civilians. There are hundreds of them here, dozens of children, many people with limited abilities, a lot of old folk. The situation is very difficult. There are huge problems with water, food, various supplies, proper supplies of ammunition for troops. I'm not even talking about weapons. I appeal to all world leaders, appeal to lead diplomats, I appeal to Pope Francis. Yeah, good luck. Pope Francis is a demon creature infestation. I yelled as much as I could for us to be heard and extraction procedures to be used on us. And then he talks about his demand for like a World War II Dunkirk style effort to come in and save everybody from the Azov steel factory area. But this isn't World War II, and it's not Dunkirk, and Russia has that whole area completely controlled, completely locked down. And so there's really nothing that these people can do except surrender, which Russia has given them multiple opportunities to surrender, and they have refused to do so. And we know why, because there are so many NATO commanders. Again, high-level officials from the French military, from the British, and from the United States military. That's why they're refusing to surrender, because they can't have this come out, that this is actually a NATO proxy war using Ukraine to try to basically run World War III with Russia, but pretend that NATO has nothing to do with it. But that's actually what's going on. So the Ukrainian fighting forces are being just ground down in terms of the remaining personnel. Hundreds of people are surrendering each day. Weapons and supplies are not making it to the front lines in the east because of the interdiction that's being conducted by Russia. And meanwhile, Russia is expanding to the west among the southern portion of Ukraine, as we talked about. Kiev looks like it's in a pretty good situation, and most of northern Ukraine is pretty good, and also western Ukraine, is doing fine as well, because Russia has no interest in those areas. Russia was initially doing probing maneuvers around Kiev in order to tie up the Ukrainian forces there, to give Russia more of an advantage in the south and in the east. But that was just a probing maneuver. That was just, you know, battlefield maneuvering. They never intended to try to take Kiev and occupy Kiev. I think Russia had hoped that Zelensky would have surrendered before now, and they would have a negotiated settlement, and they would have, you know, no more kinetic hostilities between the two nations. And I think Zelensky would have surrendered if not for pressure from the West. It's clearly NATO and the United States that are telling Zelensky. They probably have, you know, dirt on him, blackmail, because that's how everybody gets in power these days, is they agree to have blackmail on them. And, you know, Zelensky's probably been threatened. Like, you stay in here and you do not surrender and you continue to fight no matter how many of your people die. And that's the situation that we're all facing right now. Meanwhile, the Western nations are trying to escalate this into World War III as quickly as possible. So some predictions. We're going to see the Azov steel factory fall. It could happen as early as this weekend, or it could take another week or so. But it's imminent. That's going to happen. And there are going to be, I mean, Russia doesn't want to just bomb everybody into oblivion there, because there are children and civilians there, and they don't want those deaths on their hands. And the NATO forces that are holed up there in the Azov steel factory, they are using those civilians as human shields. Make no mistake. They are shielding themselves with those women and children and old people, because they know what a PR nightmare it would be for Russia to bomb that facility and have all those people, you know, dead on CNN. But they're running out of options. They're running out of food, you know, running out of ammunition, all of it. So their surrender is imminent, unless they're going to pull a Jonestown mass suicide or something, which might happen among some of the soldiers there. That would be tragic. But hopefully the civilians will be safe, and the civilians and children will be allowed to go free. And then over the next, 8 to 12 weeks or so, you're going to see Russia plodding along meticulously, kind of slowly, maybe only moving, you know, 10, 15 kilometers a day, which is actually not that slow for military. Let's just say 10 kilometers a day to the west, to the point where they're going to occupy Odessa, and they're going to potentially move into Moldova, but it could take several months to get to that point. And the question is, what is the West going to do to try to stop Russia? Because they tried the economic sanctions warfare, like the mother of all economic bombs, by cutting Russia off from SWIFT, backfired on the West, didn't stop Russia at all. NATO has tried sending weapons into Ukraine, but it's all old, outdated equipment that doesn't really work that well and certainly doesn't work together. No spare parts. Nobody knows how to run these things. You know, we've covered all this. And they're running out of missiles and javelins and stingers and all that stuff. Running out. Yeah, like America is running out of missiles to send to Ukraine. And as I covered yesterday, they're not going to make any new stingers until the year 2027. That's straight out of Raytheon's CEO. I mean, it's like Blinken is saying, hey, Putin, can you just pause the war for 5 years while we source some parts to make more weapons? You know, and Putin is obviously not going to agree to that. He's fighting the war right now. You see, Russia still has a supply chain. They can make their own domestic steel. They can make their own domestic military hardware. They're very good at that, actually. America has to source circuit boards from China, and China's all locked down because of COVID, which is a BS excuse, of course. It's not really COVID there. But China's using that to lock it all down in order to deprive America of the supply chain that it needs to build more weapons. So America has put itself in this bind. America actually built the bioweapon in the first place and then shipped it over to China for gain of function, you know, augmentation. And then America approved the lockdowns all over the world. And so America can't now stand up and say, hey, China, you can't lock your people down, because America's all in on the lockdowns. So America is in this supply chain collapse while Russia is able to keep selling energy, keep collecting gold and rubles from buyers in Turkey and India and China and African nations and Middle Eastern nations all over. And Russia is able to keep building tanks and making missiles and making artillery shells and airplanes and everything because Russia has been living under economic sanctions for decades. So they built their own domestic supply chain, you see. And it turns out that is the strategic masterpiece, if you will, on the chessboard that Putin is playing. So of all the efforts to stop Putin, I mean, everything has failed. What are they going to do now? Well, we already stole $300 billion of Russia's reserves from the central banks. We're going to steal more than $300 billion. You can't do that because there was only $300 billion. Like, we're gonna make it even more worse for you. It's like, Putin's like, what are you going to threaten me with now? You already stole all the money because you're Western nations. You're all thieves and crooks and liars, which is what the Western central banks are. Let's be honest. They stole all the money, cut off Russia from all economic activity. They've condemned Russia publicly, tried to smear Russia in every way possible. What else can they do to threaten Russia? Nothing short of just sending in, you know, bombs and tanks and planes and so on. I mean, that's the only thing left for NATO to do. But to do that, they would have to admit they're in World War III. And if they admit they're in World War III, you see, this is why this has been kept a secret. If they admit that NATO and the United States is fighting Russia, that we're in World War III, people freak and the bubbles collapse, the market bubbles, because then people lose faith in the future. Because the idea of being in World War III is pretty freaky to a lot of people, especially in World War III with a nuclear-capable nation, a superpower. I mean, the former Soviet Union, which mostly became Russia, Russia inherited virtually all the nuclear weapons. I mean, Ukraine even gave their nukes to Russia. Here, have the nukes. Russia's like, okay, now we have more nukes. Russia has thousands of nuclear warheads, advanced technology. If you declare war against Russia, you're going to crash the stock market. You're going to collapse faith in the dollar. You're going to cause panic and inflation at a level that is unheard of. And right before the midterm elections, can you imagine how much more damage that would do to Democrats? So the Democrats are trying to run this covert proxy war while pretending that America isn't fighting Russia. But in order to do that, they have to keep sacrificing the lives of Ukrainian soldiers. And they're running out of those lives. That's the truth about the situation where we are. So the only way out, I think, for the West is to stage a massive false flag, some kind of weapon of mass destruction, big chemical attack, even maybe a false flag nuclear attack that they can blame on Russia. And it doesn't matter where the evidence points because they'll just cover it all up. They'll control the media. They'll control the evidence. They'll control the UN. And there'll be a narrative. And the narrative will blame Russia even if the West set this thing off. And then they would hope that through that, maybe they could get so many global condemnations against Russia that maybe India would switch sides and stop buying from Russia, or maybe Turkey, probably not China. But if they could get India to switch, that would be a big deal. So trying to put a lot of pressure on India. So they need a big false flag so they can point at India and say, oh, India, how dare you continue to conduct economic transactions with Russia, a country that just mass murdered 100,000 people with a chemical weapons attack, even though, again, the West carried out the attack, you know, in this hypothetical scenario that I'm talking about, the false flag scenario. But that's probably the next thing that's coming, and Russia is fully aware of that. Russia already knows that. Why do you think Russia had its own soldiers very quickly come in and secure the site around the Chernobyl nuclear power plant? Why did they do that? You know why? Because NATO countries were probably going to try to cause a radiation leak at Chernobyl and blame it on Russia. Say, oh my God, look, Russia blew up Chernobyl, spilling radiation. This is a weapon of mass destruction. This is a dirty bomb. Russia did it. So Russia put troops there to stop the West from destroying the sarcophagus, as it's called, the big cover over the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. And since Russia gained control of that, there have not been accidents there. So Russia has probably had to prevent many attempted WMD false flag attacks by the West, because what we've seen over and over again is that the West is willing to kill any number of Ukrainians in order to create the narrative that they need to try to put more pressure internationally on Russia. But so far, all those plans have been thwarted. But prepare yourself for an escalation by the West. Prepare yourself for a false flag, a chemical weapon, a radiological weapon, a biological weapon. Remember, the Ukrainian bioweapons laboratories funded by the West, they are all very real. Many of them exist in eastern Ukraine. And who knows what they had in their freezers or how that might be deployed with drones or whatever. So prepare yourself for a massive escalation. And as I said earlier this week, gold and silver prices being very low this week, that is an incredible lull. It's an incredible bargain, in my opinion, because the minute this war escalates, gold and silver are very likely to spike significantly when the world realizes that we're actually entering World War III. I mean, we're already in World War III, just that most people haven't figured it out yet. This is not going to be over soon. There's not going to just be a peace accord, because NATO and the West won't allow that to happen. They need perpetual war in order to explain away the disastrous domestic economic policies of Joe Biden. So they need Russia. Really, the West needs Putin. The UK needs Putin. Germany needs Putin, because they need a scapegoat for everything that's happening. You know, the food inflation, food scarcity, energy prices increasing because they shut down their own energy infrastructure all across Western Europe. They need a scapegoat. And Putin is, for them, playing that role perfectly. They can blame Putin for everything. You know, Putin and his magical time machine, where he went back in time and caused inflation before February 22nd. Amazing. That guy's got some time traveling journals, doesn't he? So this weekend, be prepared for any number of insane escalations to take place. One of these days, coming up real soon here, we're going to see something big out of Ukraine or Poland. We're going to see possibly a tactical nuke, or we're going to see a chemical weapons attack or biological attack, radiological dirty bomb. We're going to see something very, very big. And the way you'll know it's a false flag is when CNN is right there on the scene with cameras to capture it. And then they start reporting it right away. And it's always Putin's fault. No matter what it is, it's Putin's fault. And they're going to have images probably of, you know, children, dead children. Oh, look what Putin did to these children. I mean, they pulled the same thing in Afghanistan for years. Same exact playbook. We've seen this over and over and over again. That's what's coming next. It's going to rattle the markets, which are already falling. It's going to rattle public faith in everything, including government. And this is why housing is starting to fall. You're going to see it accelerate through the rest of this year. People are getting very, very nervous about what's happening out there. And any escalations in Ukraine are only going to increase the degree of nervousness among the American people. You know, especially as the value of the dollar continues to erode month by month at some insane pace, like, I don't know, 3% per month across the board, or with food, it's more like 10 to 12% per month. We're getting close to the Weimar Germany territory here of hyperinflation. We're not there yet, but we're getting there. Not going to be pretty. So use this time wisely. I usually say this on Friday, but use this time wisely to get prepared. If you haven't yet watched that video about how to grow your own food from my friend Marjorie Wildcraft, definitely watch it this weekend. Just go to icangrowfood.com, register there, check it out. You'll learn a lot. And download my free book, Resilient Prepping, the audiobook. Give that a listen for the weekend. You might have like Health Ranger overload this weekend if you try to listen to the whole thing. So kind of pace yourself on that. Don't go too much Health Ranger in one day. That could be dangerous to your social credit score if you listen to too much Health Ranger. So pace yourself, only little bites of Health Ranger at a time. make it last. But use this weekend to prepare. You're going to need it because of what's coming. This is going to be quite a challenging year for all of us, but together we can get through it. And that's been my message from day one. Together we can all get through it. We're going to make it. Even those of you listening from Ukraine, we're going to make it through this, especially if you're in Kiev or northern Ukraine. You're going to be okay, I think. I mean, the world's going to change all around us, and the changes coming to Ukraine are actually small compared to the changes coming to the United States of America. We're going to see probably elements of civil war. We're going to see states seceding from the Union. We're going to see the breakup of America over the next few years. I mean, yeah, Ukraine's going to lose territory. America's going to no longer exist as we know it. So there's big changes coming for everybody, but we can make it through with preparedness and with faith and with knowledge about what's happening. So thank you for listening. God bless you. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com. Have a great weekend. A global reset is coming, and that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.